You're listening to SBS News.
As 2019 slipped into 2020 on New Year's Eve, Chinese authorities alerted the World Health Organization to a cluster of unusual pneumonia cases in Wuhan, a city of 11 million people. A new type of coronavirus was identified and later named COVID-19. As it began to spread outside China, Australia confirmed its first case of the virus on January 25, that of a Chinese man who arrived in Melbourne. Victoria's Health Minister Jenny Mikikos told people not to panic.
There is no reason for alarm in the general community. We have strict protocols that are in place in terms of how we deal with these infectious disease outbreaks. We've had flu pandemics and other situations in the past, including SARS. Our system is geared up well to respond to these situations.
On the same day, three other people tested positive in New South Wales after flying in from Wuhan. They were taken to hospital and placed in isolation. Meanwhile, back at the centre of the virus in Wuhan, in full-scale lockdown, hundreds of Australians, including children, pleaded for help to return home. The government formed a plan to repatriate them from China to Christmas Island, where they would spend 14 days in quarantine. Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton said the move was designed to keep the broader population safe.
The reality is that people need to be accommodated somewhere for up to 14 days. I can't clear out a hospital in Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane. I don't have a facility otherwise that we can quickly accommodate for what might be many hundreds of people. And Christmas Island is purpose-built for exactly this scenario.
On January 31st, the WHO declared the coronavirus outbreak a global health emergency of international concern. In response, Prime Minister Scott Morrison announced tough new border measures advising Australians not to travel to China. Foreign travellers from mainland China were also denied entry. On February 3rd, the first plane load of evacuees from Wuhan arrived on Christmas Island. Australian Chief Medical Officer Brendan Murphy said any of them who tested positive may be kept longer than 14 days.
The plan is to cohort people in small family groups so that if someone does get unwell, their family might have to start again for 14 days, but we wouldn't want to expose the whole group to get to that.
Two more repatriation flights out of Wuhan took Australians to Christmas Island and Darwin in the following days. By mid-February, the death toll from coronavirus in China had reached 1,500 and there were more than 50,000 cases worldwide. Fearing a pandemic, the Australian government activated its emergency response plan on the 27th. The biggest outbreak outside China was on the Diamond Princess cruise ship docked in Japan, which had more than 150 Australian passengers on board. One, a 78-year-old Perth man who died in Western Australia on March 1st, marking the country's first death from the virus. WA's Chief Health Officer Dr. Andrew Robertson said the elderly and those with other health conditions were particularly vulnerable.
We always knew that this as a disease could be a very serious disease, particularly in those who were the more elderly and those who had chronic conditions. And unfortunately, as it has in this case, this gentleman has passed away.
The next day, Australia confirmed the first two cases of person-to-person transmission within the country. On March 11th, the WHO officially declared a global pandemic as countries including Italy and Iran struggled to contain the rapidly spreading virus. In Australia, several high-profile cases emerged. Actor Tom Hanks and his wife Rita Wilson tested positive on the Gold Coast, and Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton confirmed his diagnosis. The Australian government announced anyone arriving from overseas must self-isolate. The policy mirrored New Zealand's strategy. And for the first time in history, the Level 4 Do Not Travel warning was upgraded to include the entire world. Officials also encouraged social distancing, meaning no handshakes or large gatherings. Then, on March 12, Australia joined a worldwide shift to strengthen preventative measures, with the federal government launching a financial support package valued at $17.6 billion. Prime Minister Scott Morrison said the plan was to try and prevent the economy going into recession.
How long the virus runs for? Well, that is a matter that is still scientists and health professionals are advising us on. But it does have a finite life. There is another side to going through this issue, and it will be stronger on the other side, and the global economy will recover on the other side. And the Treasurer and I and the government want to be in the best possible position for our businesses, holding on to their employees, ensuring they're continuing to train up, ensuring that they're maintaining their investment plans, because on the other side, they're going to do well. And we're going to do everything we can to ensure they're best positioned to bounce back strongly on the other side.
1 week later, on March 19th, more than 2,500 passengers disembarked the Ruby Princess cruise ship in Sydney. It has since become Australia's largest source of infections and is now under criminal investigation. The following day, Australia closed its international borders to all non-citizens. By the end of March, all bars, clubs, restaurants, cinemas, places of worship, casinos and gyms were closed in Australia. Only takeaway food could be sold. The measures forced thousands of newly jobless people to line up at Centrelink offices around the country. 37-year-old Rami Alali was stood down from his job and took to spending more time video blogging, using social media as a creative outlet during this tough time.
I didn't really feel the impact of, you know, this whole pandemic until just last week, where I was told by my employer of 9 years that I'm standing down, that they don't require me for at least 2.5 to 3 months at this point. So I've at least for the moment lost my job, and it's a bit mind-blowing that, you know, this is where I'm at right now, that I've got to go look for another temporary job. It is crazy that is the case.
Weddings and funerals were limited to a handful of people. Schools remained open, but attendance was low. In Victoria, Premier Daniel Andrews said while schools will be open for students unable to learn remotely, all others should stay at home to limit the spread of COVID-19.
We've got about 1 million students enrolled in government and non-government schools. We cannot have 1 million students moving around the Victorian community every day. All that will do is spread the virus and undermine the really significant progress that we've made.
As cases escalated, New South Wales and Victoria remained the hardest hit, and Western Australia and Queensland closed their borders. On Easter Sunday, church services were live-streamed as the nation marked the Christian holiday in isolation. Then, in the ensuing days, there was some progress, with South Australia, WA and Queensland recording no new cases for the first time in weeks. By April 13th, Health Minister Greg Hunt announced Australia had a sustained and genuine flattening of the curve. Mr Hunt said the figures were encouraging.
The latest data shows that we have had consistent growth in new cases of below 2% a day. What that means is that we are now beginning to see a consolidated flattening of the curve. That doesn't mean we're out of our challenge. There is still growth, and there could at any time be outbreaks and spikes. But this is a cause for real hope and real aspiration. We said at the start that we would get through this. We are getting through this. And now I know and I believe absolutely we will get through this.
The decrease in new infections led to the lifting of a ban on elective surgeries starting after the Anzac Day weekend. The occasion saw Australians light up the dawn from their driveways with candles to commemorate those who served. On the 26th, the government launched its COVID Safe Tracing app. More than 3 million Australians have downloaded it. Minister Hunt, speaking on the first day after the app was launched, said the uptake was pleasing.
At 6 a.m, it was 1.13 million Australians who had downloaded the app. The first million within 5 hours that we had been hoping. Our best hope was that we might get to 1 million within 5 days.
He maintains it's one of the most important tools that will enable the easing of restrictions. National Cabinet will continue to meet to discuss the next steps. And you can keep up to date with the latest on coronavirus at sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Cassandra Bain, SBS News.